Blog Talk Radio.
Boss Lady Publishing.
Hey, hey, hey. Happy Friday, everybody. Hey, Miss T.
Hey, Alicia. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. How was your day?
Girl, I'm literally just running into the house, getting on the phone. I'm preparing for my daughter's party tomorrow. So you know how that goes.
Yeah, it gets crazy for the parents, but then it's like, the kids are like, oh my God, when does she have time to do all of this?
You got that right.
When does she have time to do all of this?
You know, it's cleaning and shopping and preparing the food, and right after the show, I'm getting ready to make some macaroni salad and macaroni cheese, and it just doesn't stop, girl.
Oh, you about to break out all your kitchen toys.
Well,
what else
you
doing? You smoking? Using a smoker. Using a smoker.
I was thinking about using a smoker. It's still up in the air. It would free up a lot of space in my kitchen, though.
Shoot. You about to throw down. Did you bake the cake yourself or did you buy it?
No. Well, my family owns a bakery in Brooklyn. And they make the best cake. So I'm picking that up at 8 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Let's see,
we
you
always
didn't say
get
you
on
cake. The bakery. You were supposed to have been shouting out the bakery so all the people in Brooklyn and in the surrounding areas can head over there and get them a cake.
Girl, they got cakes, they got patties, they got codfish. They got some. It's one of the best bakeries in Brooklyn. It's called Allen's Bakery on Notion Avenue in the Beach K.
Now, hear that? It's called Allen's Bakery in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
They got the best everything. So if you are in the New York area, the Brooklyn area, and you looking for a good cake, head over to Allen's Bakery. What's the address again, Miss T?
The address, I don't know it offhand. I just go there, girl. But it's always a line outside, Alicia. You hear what I'm saying? Every day they're open. The line is outside.
See, now when I come, now I'm going to have to go give me a cupcake or something. I'm Tony, Paul sent me. She said you guys have some good cupcakes. Yes, I'll stand in line and wait. I'll take my number.
Well, see, I can't have you stand in line. I'll just usher you on in. You family, girl.
Absolutely.
You family.
Absolutely. I'm like, My husband would probably say, well, let's go see the cake boss. That cake boss, come on. We're going to get some real cupcakes, okay? Come on.
They're celebrating their 50th anniversary.
Oh, wow. That is a blessing. We're going to have to get that information.
I am. I'm going to get that information from Gashada Mark because we always get all our bakes and stuff from there. So it's made with love, girl. It's made with love. You can't get any better than that.
Absolutely. Anything that's made with love is going to taste good.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And I'm excited about tonight. I've been thinking about our topic for the last couple of days, the power of the pen.
Because it is so powerful, even just beyond books, even if you think about it. Have you seen the movie White Chicks? Have you seen that movie?
Yes.
Okay, so you know in the part where they go to the desk and they want to see the manager, and then she's like, well, I'm going to write a letter. You know, that's the power of the pen has been powerful for centuries. It's something somebody calls. But when they get a letter written or typed, then some things start moving and shaking because it's like there's a paper trail. And I think especially in business, businesses don't want paper trails, especially bad paper trails. They want to make sure that those things do not exist. So when you think of the power of the pen is very, very powerful. You know, they have that saying, the pen is mightier than the sword, or I think that's how it goes. Yeah, and it is. And so in books, if you think about it, even in music, you know how people, they write the music and it draws all these people in. You know, you're just drawn into this person's pen. You know, it is the beat, but you're just drawn in by the things that you're listening to. Mm-hmm. And same thing with the book. You're drawn in by the author's pen, especially, not every author doesn't leave their signature, but I think that becomes part of being a seasoned author, being able to leave your particular signature in your book. But you have to sign it. It has to be yours. You have to own it, your confidence, and your personality is in there. So when you write a book, it's like, wow. That's why I always say it's important to have a universal pen. And when I say universal,
we talked about
gotta
that
be able to reach.
Last time.
Yeah, you got to be able to reach. If you have a book, you don't want it to be one lopsided book where it's just one set of people reading in that book. You want to be able to grab not just street lit readers, but people that love to read contemporary or love to read romance. And it's not saying that you have to put a romance in every scene, but you have to put a little bit of those elements in there, and they have to be hot. And that means that you're going to grab them and you're going to hold them. And that's really what you want to do. You want to hold that new reader that's probably never picked up a street lit or an urban fiction book, and you're holding them to the end of your book, whether it's drama and conflict or it's love and hate, whatever the case may be. You got to grab readers and you got to bring them in and hold them. You know, what do you think about that?
I think it's true, and especially, you know, if you want them to come back to visit your work again, you know, you want to draw them in and don't want to, you know, let them go. You want them to always look forward to your next book dropping. So that is so, so important. And just so you guys know, you're listening to Leisha and Tony. This is our Honor Thy Author Spotlight, and our shows are about real readers of literature, no matter what the genre may be, which is what Leisha and I are just talking about. And we welcome all avid readers to interact with their favorite authors and get to know them in a more intimate setting. So we have some great authors on tap this evening. And I'm be interested to hear what they have to say about the power of the pen, Leisha.
Absolutely, absolutely. We have two great authors on today and a young businessman who will be on just talking about, he created an internet company, and it's a travel company, and it's JT Travels, and it's like kind of like where you can go if you want to get movie tickets, or if you want to get show tickets or football tickets. I mean, he created this, and it was something that he's, you know, always wanted to do, and he's a young man, so it's going to be on just talking about his business. So I'm interested, you know, on just his thought process when creating this, and what was the ambition or the desire that was pushing him in this direction? Because it's always that one thing that's kind of burning you, like, I just can't stand what this and this. I'm going to create my own, and I won't have to worry about you. I'm sure if I'm complaining, other people complaining too.
That's true. That's true. And it motivates you, you know, to let nothing stop you from seeing your dream come true. And like you said, it may not just be you. It could be so many other people that are experiencing the same, you know, unhappiness or just being fed up with something not going right. And you're trying to find an answer. And his answer can be the answer to so many others.
Absolutely. And I mean, even in books, you have authors that it's like, you know, they started off as readers. And it's just that they've read books. And the books that they've read, maybe it didn't capture what they felt that it should have captured. You know, maybe they feel that, you know, the drama is missing something that they can add. So, you know, a lot of authors, they do write about their lives. And, you know, they have to switch it around. But, you know, for the most part, it's like, I felt that it was missing something. Yes, people are writing about their life, but I felt that it was missing this little twist right here. We don't have books that do this. You know, we don't have authors that are like this. We don't have publishing companies that are like this. Because if you think about it, there's so many publishing companies and so many authors and so many books. And even though they seem to be the same, if you think about it, they're all kind of different in their own little way. What do you think about that, T?
I think so, too. And that's where, you know, you have that individuality that comes into play, you know, and it just, sometimes it's like a star shining, you know, and you just want to just make it continue to shine and get brighter. And the brighter it gets, the more attraction to other people is going to come towards you, you know, and it just, it's like a fight. It just continues to grow, and I'm interested to hear, you know. And I wonder, does he also do like airline tickets, or is it just like entertainment tickets?
Yes.
You know, because it's coming up on the holidays, and people are going to be, you know, time to make those holiday plans. This is like a perfect time, and it's probably a busy time for him too.
Absolutely, because, you know, he does vacation packages and he does all of these things that, you know, people go on Travelocity, they go on here, but, you know, it's always that one complaint that, you know, well, I got to take 65 different planes to get to a place that's 2 hours away. You know what I'm saying? Why do I have to go through that? And sometimes that becomes the frustration when you're on, you know, the different websites. It's like, okay, I want cheap tickets, but to go all around just to get where I'm trying to go. And on his website, he sells cheaper airfare tickets, hotel deals, vacation packages, entertainment tickets for football games, baseball games, concerts, theaters, you name it, and it's on there. So I'm just like really interested. What was his thought process and when he desired to make this? Was it out of frustration? You know, like, I would just see my mom playing trips, and it would just seem like so difficult, or everybody wants a travel agent, and there are no travel agents really online. It's only the online companies, like the Travelocities and things like that. They normally, you don't see any travel agents that have an online type of website set up. You have to go to their office. And, you know, most of the time you're recommended and things of that nature. So it's going to be interesting to talk with him and just find out about this business and his thought process and how it all came about.
Because actually, you know, it's funny because I was actually on one of those lines today looking at flights. You know, so everything works out for a reason. You know, you try to find like the cheapest. And you don't want too cheap because you don't know what you're going to be stepping onto. But, you know, you try to save a couple of pennies this time of year with the holidays coming up. You know, and especially if it's like family traveling, you know, that's just, it adds up. So I'm really interested in hearing what he has to say about this.
Absolutely. And that was funny because when we went to Texas, Southwest had ran a sale. So I went with the sale with Southwest because of their sale, all their tickets were cheaper. However, there happens to be two airlines or airports. And so they have the international airport, and then they have like a smaller type, maybe it's an older airport where they probably built a newer airport up. But that was like, wow. So when we got there, everything closed at 11. So we were at the, we flew into one airport, but my husband made the car rental reservations at the other airport. So mind you, when I bought the ticket, the other airport did not even come up as an option. So you were flying into this airport.
Wow.
It was just crazy. Everything closed at 11. It was late. Well, it was bad weather. That's why it was late. But, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I can understand wanting to get the tickets and not flying halfway around the world.
Yes. Try to get something a little more direct. That's just,
yes.
That's just so frustrating. And I remember you going through that when you were traveling, trying to get back. And like you said, the weather didn't help. So everything plays a factor in having a good flight, a good experience, you know. And that didn't
that's
sound
so
like really fun at all.
Yes, and you can tell that everybody got this deal because – everybody got this deal because it was packed. And when I, you know it's packed when the airlines is asking people to give up their seats.
Mm-hmm.
And they were, like, giving them just $400. Like, we're going to refund your seat because we're giving you such and such. It was, so you could tell that everybody actually grabbed onto this deal.
Wow. That was, must have been a really, really good deal at that, you know. That's something else. $400 to give up your seat.
It was like for both of us round trip. It came out to like $430 or $450 for two people round trip. So I thought that was really good because like getting tickets now, or we have a lot of trips coming up next year, and for three people it's like almost $1,400 to travel. So I know that was a good deal.
Wow. That's a big difference, Leisha.
You know, I like
goodness.
To plan. Like, when we're traveling, I like to plan. I like to, like, really, we plan down to the restaurant we go to. So my husband loves to watch Man vs. Food. I think that's the name of the show. And whatever city we're going to, he sees if that show has hit a restaurant or an eating spot in that city. I mean, we plan down to the T, even down to where we're going to sleep. Because it's like, okay, we went to Atlanta and we had stayed at some hotel, the Holiday Inn Express, I think it was.
Uh-huh.
And it was outside of Atlanta, but it smelled like cat litter. And so to this day, my husband will not stay at any Holiday Inn Express. None.
I don't care what city you're in.
He will not stay any Holiday Inn Expresses because of that one experience. But that's what happens. You get that one experience, and it kind of sticks with you. And it's like, wow.
That's all it takes is just one. That's all it takes. And, you know, you just, and unfortunately, you know, a lot of businesses lost because of that one mistake at that one-time visit, you know. So, like you said, now he doesn't want to go in to any more of those. So they're losing out on business there.
And that's true because, you know, they always say when you lose one customer, that customer tells someone else, so you end up losing 100.
Mm-hmm, that's true. The power of the word.
Absolutely. And so, you know, if you get a letter of complaint, what
now,
the word is
the
word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know how tough word of mouth is. When you get that letter,
that's true. And also, Leisha, what if he was to go and put a review? You know, like some places ask for, you know, customer review. Now, that's another powerful avenue, back to the power of the word. Now, he was to leave a review expressing his dissatisfaction. Boy, it's touching thousands now when they go to that site and read those reviews.
Absolutely. So if you think about going on Amazon or if you're going on Barnes & Noble and you're looking at the reviews for those books, you know, sometimes, I'm not saying all the time, but you have some people that they're a little vindictive when they do things. You got to kind of be careful what you put out there. I always say you will always get a return on investment. Whatever you get put out, you're going to get it back. It's going to be a return on an investment. So the thing with that is if you go on Amazon and because you feel some kind of way about an author or they killed off your favorite person or whatever the case may be, you just may not like them personally. And you use that site as a personal way to attack that author through their book. To me, that is not, it's not good. And it's not cool. You're lacking integrity when you do things like that because it's like, you if you read the book, you might not have read it, but because you have a personal feeling, you're going to attack this person and you're going to use the avenue of their book because it's something that they care for. So I have a big problem when I go on Amazon and you have people just leaving nasty reviews about books because, again, you've got the power of the pen. There are people that base what they're going to read and what they're going to do on reviews.
That's true.
Even even down to staying into hotels. What hotel you stay in. If someone goes to a hotel and they're not pleased with the service and they go on that travel site that everybody goes
travel.
On?
Like that Travelocity type of site?
No, it's not Travelocity where it's where you get the reviews. You get
hotels.
The reviews for the different hotels, and I can't think of the name right now, but people go on that site, and I do it too. Like, if I'm going to go to a city, whatever hotel I'm going to stay at, I take that hotel, and I put the search on that site, and I look up all the reviews for that hotel, and it tells me if I'm going to want to stay there or not. You know, so can you think of that was a book, and it wasn't that the book was bad, but somebody was malicious. You gave a one star because you didn't like the way they spoke to you or, you know, or whatever the case may be. When you leave a review, and I think, well, we talked about this like our first or second show. We talked about the way and how you don't too much of the story because you want people to read it and you don't want to give away the storyline. But you also want to make sure that you're not highlighting all the negatives of the book because every book is not going to be perfect. You're not going to like everything in the book, and people are going to die in the book, especially, say, it's the very last book. Somebody good going to die because it's the end of the story, and they have to kill off that storyline. And the only way to kill off a storyline is to make everybody happily ever after or make somebody die.
But, you know, that's just like, you know, expect the unexpected. And we've had some, you know, some of our favorite authors, the ending is never what we think it's going to be, you know. But that's the beauty of the pen also on the flip side, you know, because if it was going to end the way you think it's going to end, then, you know, what's the point of reading the story?
Absolutely. And that's so true. You are right on with that because it's like, why should I read it now? They've told me that Susie and Fred are going to have a baby and then Sarah's going to get jealous and then now Sarah's going to decide to run over with the car now that he's ran over with the car. Okay, so they've hit all the hot spots, so I need to move on and not read this book. But
exactly.
It's like it was good.
Exactly. That doesn't make any kind of sense. And I can never start a book, Lisa, and not finish it. It's just something within me. And because it may not, you know, like take Needy's Dreamweaver. I never would have seen that ending coming. Would you?
No, I didn't. It was crazy.
That's a perfect example.
It's the way you grab them, though. You got to grab them. And if you grab people and you make them want to stay to the end, then that's different. But when you don't grab them in the beginning, if you don't grab them within the first chapters of a book, they're going to put the book down, and most readers will not finish it because you haven't given them anything. And sometimes if you read something and it's like pulling teeth, they're not going to finish it. They'll find something else that they wanted to read. They're going to read that.
That's going to grab their interest. Like you said earlier, that interest has to be got from the beginning.
Mm-hmm. And that synopsis.
Mm-hmm.
All of that is
sure.
The cover. We talked about, you know, me and you, that's our big pet peeve, that cover and that title and that synopsis.
Those are the key points of grabbing us and keeping us.
That's how you get us to buy it. But when there's something wrong with those, then 9 times out of 10, most people will pass.
And you know, Leisha, even with unknown authors that I've never read before, if I like that cover and I like that title and that synopsis has grabbed my interest, I'm one clicking. I have no problem with that, you know, because it has piqued my interest. I have
absolutely,
no problem.
Because I love it. Yes, I love different. Absolutely love different.
Yep.
Well, we actually have our first guest in, and this is JT. Justin is a business owner who dreamt of being his own boss. JT Travel and Entertainment is a business where he sells cheaper airfare, tickets, hotel deals, vacation packages, entertainment tickets, and more. Hey, Justin, how
Hello.
Are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Hey, Justin.
Hey.
How you doing?
We are good. We're happy to have you in the clubhouse with us tonight. This is Tony, and welcome on in our clubhouse, Alicia and I.
Oh, well, it's good to be on.
So, Justin, tell us our listeners just a little bit about your company.
Well, JT Travel and Entertainment Tickets, like you said, sells cheaper airfare, hotel deals, and entertainment tickets like sports and theater and all a bunch of other stuff. I can read a list of the entertainment tickets if you'd like.
Oh, we just wanted to just kind of shout out your business and just to let the listeners give the listeners a little insight about it. Now, what made you want to step into the travel industry and create your company?
Other than wanting to be my own boss, I have a family that is, you know, throughout the country.
Uh-huh.
And I wanted to get into a travel business to try to find them cheaper deals to fly back for, like, Christmas and stuff, holidays like that. So that's basically why I started it. It was because of family and getting them back here for Christmas and other holidays. And then the sports side. Yeah, and then the sports side was because my family's big on sports. They always like to watch, go to football, baseball, you know, even basketball. And that's why I started the entertainment side, trying to get cheaper tickets for those as well. So, yeah,
sounds like you've covered all bases, actually.
Yeah, I try to. The main one that I'm doing right now, it's for, you know, the holiday season, is like hotels right now. I'm getting really good because I promote other people's companies for them.
Uh-huh.
I'm like the middleman, an affiliate.
Okay.
Have you heard that term before?
Yes.
Well, affiliate is like the middleman. I sell their stuff. I get a commission of the sale.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Would they go through your site?
Yeah, the customer will go through my site, and then if they choose to purchase the product, then the company pays me the commission of the sale.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, it's really neat. It's really cool.
Now, Justin, you sound young. How old are you?
I'm 25.
Wow, that's awesome.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so, how like, you're 25. Yeah.
Say that again. You didn't come through.
How long have you been doing this? You're 25. Don't tell me you started, like, at 16.
No, I just started it up this year, actually.
You're kidding.
Yeah, I just started it up, so I'm still new. I actually have sold some football tickets over Facebook to a few people, and it's pretty cool because they found me on Facebook, and they friend requested me, so it was really cool to see them post up the photos to the tickets or to the games that I sold the tickets for.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool. Yeah, it was one woman I sold tickets to because I'm out here in San Diego, and one girl, she posted up the game that she went to that I sold her to, and it was when the Chargers shut out the team.
Wow, that's awesome.
She was happy. She sent me a message saying they're thanking me for it.
Now, let everyone know what your Facebook contact information is.
Well, I'm going to give the website that I have. And on my website, it's got all the links to my Facebook, Twitter, email, newsletter, even a phone number where you can call me or text me or whichever method you prefer. But are you ready for the website?
Absolutely.
It's www.jtonlinemall.com.
Onlinemall.com.
Yeah. jtonlinemall.com.
Okay.
So basically, it's got everything there. Every deal that I have is posted up. And then on the contact page is where you can find my Facebook, my Twitter, phone number, and newsletter, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty clear. I made it pretty clear that it's easy to find.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Now, JT, with all the travel companies and the different websites, what makes your company unique and stands kind of outside of those different companies?
Okay, well, these companies, I can explain what they do. They send me emails, and they say, okay, you know, they'll say, Justin, we're having a sale right now. Get an additional 35, I'm giving an example. They say, like, if they order through my site, they use a promo code, and they get an additional $30 to $40 off their flight or their hotel.
Just because they
went through my link. So if they just went through the normal website, they wouldn't have the promo code and they wouldn't have saved that $30 or $40. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm on your page now. So if I wanted to go see Lucia in Detroit, I would just hit travel deals. Is that how it goes? And we would get the deal that you're offering us. Am I right?
So wait, where would you want to go? I didn't hear.
Like, say I wanted to go visit my co-host, Lisha. I'm in New York. She's in Detroit, okay? I want to go and visit my girl, and I go to your site, jtonlinemall.com, right?
Right.
Now, previously, they have offered you the deals, and we have to go through you in order to get a cheaper flight instead of going directly to the airline. Is that how it works?
Correct, okay. Yes. And actually, on the site too, I put a little free tip. I don't know why they do this, but for some reason, the airlines, all of them, drop their prices on Tuesday.
Really?
Yeah, the tickets are cheaper on Tuesday for some reason. That's I recommend on my page to order them. You know, you can get that and then get my deals as well. But, yeah, I on the very top of the page, underneath where it says travel deals/tickets, it'll tell you to look for your tickets on a Tuesday.
Wow. That's a nice little tip right there.
Yeah, that's a little free tip that I put for people to, you know, follow if they choose to. So, yeah,
well,
I have a...
You're like a...
you're like a travel agent, basically. You're a travel agent, and you have your website where they can communicate with you, because it's not like going on Travelocity where you put in the date and the time. It's kind of like they have to send you information of what exactly they're trying to do, or whatever they're trying to purchase for tickets or the concerts or sports, things of that nature. And then you, as the travel agent, you see what you have available, correct?
Correct, yes. And then if they go through the site, so one of my affiliate programs, you type in your, and they can always call me if they need help. I'll walk them through the whole thing and everything. That's why I put my phone number up there to begin with, is, you know, to help them out. And you just type in how many, this is for airlines. You type in how many tickets you want, where you're going to be departing from, where you're going to be going to, if it's a round trip. You do all that kind of stuff, and then it'll pull up. It has technology that'll pull up the cheapest airfare tickets available.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So does that make sense at all?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. That's kind of neat how you have that.
Mm-hmm, it's true.
I'm sorry, say that again?
So that's kind of neat how you have that.
Yeah, it's a neat feature. It's really cool, yeah. If I was going to travel, I would go through my site too.
You know, and like Leisha and I were saying earlier, this is the time when people are starting to make those holiday travel plans, you know. So this is like right on time as far as show-wise. And hopefully our listeners are listening and grabbing these great, you know, tips that you're giving to us.
Yeah, it's this time of year where that's why I was like, I had to launch it, because I knew that people travel this time of year more than any of, you know, the other times.
Mm-hmm. Now, I have a question. Now, my son is away at school, right? And does this also include, like, buses, like Greyhounds and all those type of things like that?
Does it also include what?
Like Greyhound buses.
Greyhound buses? I have never seen any of that, but I'm learning new stuff every day. I'm always constantly applying for partnerships with new companies.
Mm-hmm.
So,
it would be more like surface travel and not like air travel.
Okay,
like surface travel.
Yeah, I don't have any of that right now, but like I said, I'm always upgrading and looking to partner up with more companies. So,
okay.
Like for example, when I first started out in the entertainment industry, I only had football and baseball. Now I got basketball, and I got horse racing and NASCAR, all kinds of stuff. So I upgraded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah. I'm always looking to upgrade. That's a good thing to do.
Now, before you go, Justin, just make sure that you shout out your website. Make sure you shout out your Facebook and Twitter information so that people are able to contact you and check out the services that you're offering.
All right. Well, like I said before, all my Facebook, Twitter, and newsletter and phone number is on my website. So if you got my website, you have everything. You got access to everything to find me.
Okay, so, and that website, once again, is JT Online Mall.
Online Mall. Yeah, www.jtonlinemall.com.
Gotcha.
All right.
Well, I've visited. How about you, Leisha?
Oh, yes, I've been there. I have been there. I'm always looking, like I was telling Tony earlier, I always like to plan. We plan even now to where we're going to eat when we travel. And the biggest thing that bugs me about buying these tickets is I got to travel all around the world just to go an hour away or 2 hours away or 5 hours away. The five-hour flight is an eight-hour flight, you know, so...
Uh-huh. definitely, definitely, this is a benefit. And even the fact that you drop a jewel and let people know when you're going to travel, make sure you, if you're going to go to outside agencies and companies, make sure you call on Tuesday.
Yeah, make sure you call on Tuesday. That's a good tip for airfare, just for airfare.
Okay.
The, you know, the sports tickets and the hotel deals, you can call any day. But it's, you can call any day for airfare, too, but I'm giving the tip that it will be cheaper on Tuesday.
Okay. That's a great tip.
Yeah, and like I said, it's on my website. I put it on there, so if anybody forgets, it'll be right there so they can see.
Mm-hmm. Well, and people that are going to be visiting our archives, they'll have that information also, so that's a great thing.
Yeah.
Now, we also do
commercial spots. If you ever have a commercial you've made and you want to run your commercial on our show, just inbox me or Catherine and let me know, and we can, you know, run your commercials as well.
Oh, okay. Sounds good to me.
Yes. I mean, and a lot of people don't know that we do run commercials, and a commercial is the best way to kind of get your story or your services or your company out there, especially if you get really busy, because a lot of people work and then they have a company at the same time. So
that's a great way
to be able to reach different places and different people, and be able to generate that information when you're not able to do it physically. So it is a great idea.
That's true. Well, we so appreciate you taking time out and coming on our show and just telling us about JT Travel and Entertainment. We wish you nothing but continued success. If you ever have anything you want to promote on our show, just contact us, and we'll make sure we get it on for you. Okay, Justin?
All right. Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for joining us.
All right. Have a good night.
Okay, you too.
You have a wonderful
day. All right, bye.
Okay, bye-bye. That was great.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, that is a great idea. And he has a lot of information on his site. You know, as we were talking, I went to visit it. And like you said, it's right up there. Your ticket's on, you save a little bit on Tuesday if you put those on Tuesday. And during holiday, every little bit counts.
Absolutely. We're going to take a brief break. You are on Writing Royalty Radio, Honor That Author Friday with the fabulous Tony. I'm Miss Leisha. We're going to take a brief break, and we're going to come back with our next guest. We have Slice. She's going to be popping into the clubhouse, telling us about her new book that's going to be dropping and her project that she has up next.
It's the one and only the boss lady, Nene Capri. I hail all the way from North New Jersey. I'm the author of the Pussy Trap series, Trust No Bitch series, and my latest book under G Street Chronicles, Tainted Lies, Fear, and Death. You can holler at me at NeneCapri.com. I'm on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram as Nene Capri. I'm coming to a library near you. Trapping.
When a skillful marksman is handed a difficult mark, she battles between love and death. Erica, the beautifully sexy yet deadly trigger, has come face to face with a person she cannot kill. But in reality, she cannot allow her to survive. Unstable friendships and loyalty will be tested as passion and revenge slide comfortably into its place. Author Boo Jackson takes you on a thrill ride and poses the question, what do you do when you're torn between what's right and what's wrong, what's real and what's fantasy? Sanity and insanity will fight for a position on the throne as she brings to life the darkened heart behind Malicious Intent. Malicious Intent by author Boo Jackson. Available at Boss Lady Publishing. Check it out.
WIPP.
After learning the history of the Blood Game movement, Ra-Ra takes Venom up on his offer to rep that red and dirty jersey. People began embracing the movement, looking for that feeling of family, love, and bonds. Some understood the movement, and others had a hidden agenda for their newfound power. In due time, murder, betrayal, and other acts of violence flood the streets of Newark and surrounding cities. Take a ride with Ichimu and read all about how life in the hood goes with no holds barred. Bloodstained. Available now through Street Dedication Publishing.
Wow, what a difference a commercial makes.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
It's like sitting down on the side.
Mhm.
Oh, go ahead, Missy.
No, I was saying it's like when you're sitting down at a movie, you see all the previews. That's what it reminded me of.
Oh, yeah, right. When everybody really the different little things at the beginning of the movie, like 15
mm-hmm.
minutes of other movies that's going to come out or that are out. Yes. Oh, mm-hmm. and then they give you that disclaimer about noise.
Yes.
We are still waiting for Slice to slide into the clubhouse, but we do have author Willie Stewart. He's the author of Tarnished, and he is in the clubhouse. Willie Stewart is a critical care registered nurse, author, novelist, entrepreneur, and a member of the Tampa Writers Alliance and the Florida Writers Association. His debut novel, Tarnished, promises to entertain while shaking the very foundation of healthcare and the public's confidence in that system in order to spur on debate for proper reforms. All right. See, they're going to power
mm-hmm.
that pen. You got something to say, you write it out, and people
mm-hmm.
will listen.
That's true.
Hey, Willie, how are you?
Hey,
hi,
I'm doing
Willie.
Great. I'm glad to be in the clubhouse.
We're glad to have you.
I was listening to y'all while I was stuck in rush hour traffic trying to get home to call from my home phone so I'd have a good signal.
Uh-huh.
So y'all talking about the power of the pen. I love that topic. I love the way you guys are stating that, because it's true. The pen is truly mightier than the sword. We stop wars, we start wars with the power of the pen. And, you know, it's not to take anything away from being a great orator. I mean, because there are, you know, a bunch of those in history. Martin Luther King, Jesse Jackson, of course, our current president, President Obama. They're great orators, and they're good at gathering the people for the moment to act in a movement. But historically, you know, if you have something in writing, you create a historical record of it. So even if that person isn't around anymore, you can listen to them because their stuff is in writing. You can read it, and you can feel that movement all over again and re-energize that movement and touch a whole new generation just because that writing exists. And so just like you guys were saying, you know, when you write something down, it creates a record of it. So a business doesn't want a record of bad reviews. An author doesn't want a record of bad reviews on their book. The pen is truly mighty, like you guys are saying. So I love that topic.
You are so right. I like what you're saying. And also in this age, Willie, with the, you know, the social media, the internet, those words are just like, they seem like they just last even past forever. What did you think about that?
Well, it's funny that you said something about this age, because we live in this age of social media and reality TV type orientation. So people's attention span is so short and small, and they want sensationalized stuff, and they have tunnel vision. Once they focus on something, they don't tend to see outside of that tunnel. So as an author, you have to kind of get their attention with something. And so that's why, you know, you see authors moving more towards writing sensationalized stories and bringing that fiction closer towards reality, like how Tarnished is, so that you can actually put yourself in the tunnel, because then you can get a message across to people. You know, I believe I'm the first person in history to ever do a rap song and a rap video for a novel, you know, and that's so that I can talk to an urban audience and more people who would listen to this message that could benefit from some of the things that I've been talking about and being going around the country speaking about on healthcare. So you do have to, you know, kind of take into account the society that we have right now.
And while you're doing that, you have to kind of think outside the box in order to draw those people in and try to listen to that message that you're trying to portray.
Exactly. And that's kind of what I did with my novel, Tarnished. I took my lead character, and I don't know if any other author has ever done this before, but I took my lead character out of the book, and I integrated him into all of social media. And so I do a little role-playing. I did a lot of it during the first 3 months of release, and I kind of backed off a little bit while I was doing more promotion towards this last quarter here. But I integrated him into all of social media. He has his own blog, his own Facebook page, his own Twitter account, and his own website, and interact with the public. And it's kind of a way to educate him, but also to sensationalize his character and his persona so that people were wanting to find out more about him and the author's message and that sort of thing. So, you know, it's another one of those thinking outside of the box things.
That's definitely thinking outside the box. What do you think about that, Leisha?
Definitely is, because he made his character a live person, basically. You know, it's like a lot of times, you know, when you get meshed inside of a book, you have your favorite character, and it's like most of the time you're like asking the author, well, why this and why that and what happened to this and what happened to that? But when the character has their own page, it's kind of like the reader is still interacting with the character. So you're allowing all of that particular book, especially if it's a series or something like that, you're allowing it to fester. You know, because
that's kind of what I do with Tarnished. I do have a book too that I'm working on right now, but I also have a TV pilot that I've written and a movie script that I've written that we're developing a budget for and everything, so that we can shop it to a couple of different production companies that we are associated with. And so it's kind of like Dexter meets Nurse Jackie. I don't know if you guys watched that on Showtime, but the character is so intriguing. And then with this, the topic is something that I think will be timeless from this point forward, because we're dealing with healthcare and the realities of that right now. As a critical care registered nurse for the last 14 years, I am seeing doctors leaving the profession because of the Affordable Health Care Act. Even though it was passed with good intentions, there are a lot of repercussions that the public that just doesn't know that we see on the inside. And then now you're adding tens of millions of more people to a healthcare system that's already overburdened and understaffed. Our average workforce is averaged age 46 years old now. And now you have baby boomers who are entering the healthcare system more critical than ever because they're living longer. So you got tens of millions of more people, more critical, but you're not adding more healthcare providers in the same ratio. So now you're going to have to figure out, how am I going to get out of the hospital alive? You know, and that's what I go around the country talking about. I was at an event in Houston just recently at Community of Faith Church. I spoke with Dr. Mai Haley, Alex Haley's wife, who wrote the book Roots. And she was on that panel, and Dr. Virgil Wood was on there. He helped organize the March on Washington. And I spoke to the people in the congregation about how to get out of the hospital alive, because it's more imperative than ever that we get back to some of those things that we used to do, especially the way that the system is kind of set up now. And the squeaky wheel is going to get the grease. And if you don't know how to do that, then you're going to become a statistic in this whole new system.
Wow, that's true, and it's scary on the flip side, you know, that it is is at this point, and like you said, it's at a critical point.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, it's uh-huh. extremely critical. It's a perfect storm that's brewing. You want to talk scary? Let me tell y'all something scary. I want everybody to listen to this very carefully, because everything that I'm about to tell you is completely preventable. It does not have to happen, but it does happen. Your healthcare providers are killing you, and you're letting them kill you. All right, I don't like to throw statistics around because they're kind of boring, but this is not going to bore you right here. Every year, this is according to the Journal of American Medical Association, your healthcare providers cause you preventable stuff, 2 million infections per year. That breaks down to 166,666 per month, 38,461 per week, 5,479 per day, 228 per hour. 3 infections per minute are happening somewhere in this country. And then out of all of those infections that happen, out of those 2 million, 80,000 people are going to die. And these are all completely preventable. That means breaking that down so that people can see the reality of it, 6,666 people are going to die per month from preventable infections. 1,538 are going to die per week. 219 per day, 9 deaths per hour are preventable. And this is something that if you are being a proactive person with your own health care, if we're doing what I suggest when I go around speaking, which is getting back to family-oriented health care, having your family with you when you go to the hospital, having a neighbor with you that you consider family, or a best friend that you consider family. But we got to get back to the way health care used to be, where we watched out for each other. You know, uh-huh. when Big Mama used to get sick or somebody would get sick in your family, everybody went and checked on her. They made sure she had food. Somebody came over, rubbed her feet. You know, I mean, different. We took a proactive approach to health care, and now we kind of go in there and we just trust the white coat blindly. And the white coat sometimes doesn't have your best interest at heart, especially now when you're only going to see your health care provider, your medical doctor, for a few minutes, you know, when you go in there, because he has to see more patients now to make the bottom to make the ends meet, because they're getting paid pennies on the dollar, Medicare rates, to see all these extra patients now. So, and that's why a lot of them are leaving or deciding to take their practice into what's called concierge medicine, where they, you know, you have to be self-pay or have really good insurance. I have a personal experience where before Obamacare became law, I was on the plan called PCIP, which was the pre Affordable Health Care Act, before the law actually went into effect. And that's where they accept pre-existing conditions. And so I went to a doctor to try to get seen and for a back injury that I had. And the doctor said, okay, I want you to see this doctor and this doctor, and they're right near your house up in Wesley Chapel, Florida. And so I called those two practices, and the doctor said, well, what insurance do you have? That's the first thing they check. And I told him what it was, the PCIP plan, that, you know, they cover my pre-existing condition. Now, here's where everybody got it all twisted. The Democrats are arguing against the Republicans, and the Republicans argue back against the Democrats. And there's this whole big stupid argument going on. If you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor. You know, President Obama said that, and then it's not panning out to be that. But that arguing going back and forth, you miss the whole point that if your doctor does not like you, it don't matter whether President Obama said this or that, or whether there is a health care law that gives you coverage. Because if your doctor decides he don't want to play along, and he's not mandated to, we're mandated to have coverage, but he's not mandated to accept your coverage, that means you don't have a doctor. You have to go searching and hunting for somebody else that will accept that insurance. And it may not be the one that you need to see or want to see, or the best one. You know, so it's a perfect storm brewing out there with these millions and millions of more people going into the healthcare system because of the Affordable Health Care Act. And then we got the pathway to citizenship. And I know we didn't get on here to talk about politics, but all of this affects your life. You know, when they're adding all these millions of more people who now, if they pass the amnesty bill, and President Obama is saying he's going to probably do that as an executive order, that means millions of more people are going to come out of the shadows and have access to our health care system now, and it's going to even become more overburdened. So we got to think of that, you know, as a whole, you know?
That's true. You know, Willie, you brought up – I'm sorry, Misha.
Yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to ask, because you talked about the – the how volatile the healthcare profession is. But with the rise in Ebola cases that are happening to nurses and the doctors and people within the hospital, isn't that hurting the healthcare profession as well? Because now people are not going to be as trusting of the nurses and the doctors, because it's like, okay, well, what if you get sick? You might make me sick now. And then that, what do you think about that?
Well, I'm about to blow you guys' mind on Ebola, and this is just my personal opinion. People can call me a conspiracy theorist or whatever name they want to. It's just my personal opinion on how things are happening, and I just kind of logically deduce this opinion of mine, and it's the same opinion is shared by some people out there, but, you know, you won't hear it being talked about in the mainstream media. But you look at Africa. And Doctors Without Borders has been over there for many, many years dealing with Ebola. Ebola is not new. So it's never been a big thing. But this new strain of Ebola, which our government has a patent on, the Ebola virus, you can Google it, from I think a year or two ago, they got a patent on a particular strain of Ebola. So 4,000 or 5,000 people in Africa have died from Ebola. And the majority, a lot of people that are dying are healthcare workers that are over there, the African nurses and doctors and stuff, but 4,000 or 5,000 people. Now, before an American got Ebola and came into this country to be the first case, nobody here cared about it, okay? But once an American got it, everybody is all up in arms now because they fear it being spread in this country. But that's always been a risk because we've sent those doctors over there many times, and they've come back here many times after they've been exposed to those people over there. But there is a vaccine on the horizon. They talk about it being available for testing starting at the end of this year, but all of a sudden they have a vaccine. So how would you propose, if you are a big pharmacy company, to create an instant market for your vaccine when only one or two Americans have gotten Ebola, okay, and been in this country with Ebola? So you have 4,000 or 5,000 people who actually died from Ebola over in Africa, and nobody cared about it. A few people got Ebola here, and nobody has died except for an African who came here with Ebola. So no American has died from Ebola, but we have enraged and excited and inflamed the public so much that now you have an instant market for whatever this vaccine is going to be that they're going to come up with. And now everybody's going to either want the Ebola vaccine because they're scared or fearful that they may get Ebola, but the chances and likelihood of you getting it are low because, again, they're tracking and monitoring these people, and if they could get it as quickly as people are fearful of getting it, then it would have spread a lot more with the doctor who was walking around New York who had it and lied about having his symptoms a little earlier. The nurses, out of the two that actually caught it, there were. Think about how the hospital workplace is. Everybody touches the elevator buttons. All the nurses use the same keyboards and stuff to do their charting and enter all the information, but only two people got it. So I call BS on it and ring conspiracy the bell loud and clear, regardless of what people think about it. They can call me kooky or whatever, but our government is not beyond doing something like this. I call out Tuskegee. I'll call out the psychological experiments that they did on those soldiers. I'll call out Agent Orange. And those are proof that our government is not beyond doing some nefarious crap in order to test stuff out or make a buck or whatever. So, you know, you think about it. Not many people, you haven't heard of Ebola anymore other than those couple of people.
You know,
but they
wait
have
a
an
minute.
Instant market
I,
now.
I would not call you school because my husband has been – he has said the exact same thing that you have just said, including mm-hmm. bringing up Tuskegee. You know, it's
yeah.
amazing how, I mean, you it's pretty much verbatim what you just said. My husband has been speaking about this for months since the Ebola virus broke.
Well,
so
tell your husband, I think he's a smart man.
Absolutely.
Wow.
And even if you go back to the AIDS epidemic, where they wanted to stop Haitians from coming here because the spread of AIDS was so rampant in Haiti, in Haiti, that, okay, they stopped them from coming here. But the minute the Ebola virus left Africa, now all of a sudden they want them to stop Africans from coming here. And this is my thing. They didn't get it here. They got it there, and then you bought them here. So
right, exactly. Now let me blow your mind one more time here. You guys remember the Mark? Well, you may or may not remember that with Marcus Garvey wanted to repatriate blacks over to Africa to where? To Sierra Leone. It was an American colony, just like how Britain has colonies over here. We had that one in Africa. Where did this new strain, this most virulent strain of Ebola start at? But right in that area. My whole premise of talking about that right now is that they had a test somewhere, and 4,000 or 5,000 people died, and we got a patent on a new strain of Ebola. So all I'm saying is, if you look at stuff, you can find a conspiracy in a lot of what's going on. You don't have to believe it, but I would tend to think that there are people that are trying to make a whole lot of money off of this thing just based on there not being more Ebola out there in America right now, as many people that have come back and forth between Africa and here.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
wow.
So.
Wow. Yes, you are definitely blowing our minds tonight, right?
Absolutely. Right, because it's like, we should talk about the break. Let's talk more about his work.
Oh, yeah. Well, again, I use the book to kind of introduce myself to the world because, again, I think people need to start thinking like we said earlier, outside of the box. And so what I did a couple of years ago, I decided to write about a nurse serial killer. And the reason I decided to write about a nurse serial killer is because, like I said, I've been doing this for over 14 years, and I started out in critical care right out of nursing school. And when I first became a nurse, I went into the profession with eyes glowing and loving to help people, and I still do. But I heard about this case about this angel of death person that was up in the Pennsylvania and New Jersey area, I was just flabbergasted. I was like, whoa, how in the heck can something like this happen in the healthcare profession? These are the good guys, you know, helping to keep people alive and bring people back to life and all of that stuff. So back then when I first became a nurse, I kind of looked at it and I was, you know, enthralled by it, like, whoa, you know, well, maybe I need to be watching out and stuff like that. But then as I grew into nursing, I started watching how easy it would be for people to just mess up. You know, I actually witnessed people messing up and stuff, and then, you know, stuff gets fixed. And so in order to talk to people, in order to put myself into the tunnel vision, I decided to take the entirety of my nursing history and expand on it and say, okay, if this happened, then this could have happened, this could have been worse, this is how a killer could have did it. And so I expanded on that universe in order to make it more of a reality, because there is the reality out there. I didn't invent the nurse serial killers. They actually are out there, and they had thrived in the previous system. This guy went from 3 or 4 different states, who knows how many, but they caught 3 or 4 different states, and he killed dozens and dozens of people. So it was like, okay, this guy got away with it. And then you hear about this medical doctor, Kermit Gosnell, who was snipping baby spines in urban communities. Google him. That, I mean, it's horrific. And he got away with it for, you know, over a couple of decades of doing this kind of stuff in these minority communities and stuff. And the only way that people could get away with that kind of stuff is because we weren't educated enough to look for it, or we trusted the white coat way too much, and we weren't having our families look out for us when we were encountering the healthcare system. So that's where my message comes in, is that we got to avoid that kind of stuff and learn more about it. And so here's the analogy that I use when I go to speak. I use this when I went to Houston just recently. I took my own PA system, and I had thunder and lightning playing in the background. And so I asked everybody by show of hands, how many of y'all, when y'all hear that, you put the phone down, you don't want to call nobody? And everybody started laughing, a bunch of people raised their hands. I said, I didn't grow up in the South, but my grandmother did, and even now my wife's mother does that. I'm going to get off the phone, baby, because it's raining and thunder. So everybody reacts as if there is a lightning bolt with their name on it. Because of that, they stop sports games because of that. If there's dark clouds in the sky, even though the chance of actually getting struck by that lightning is only a million to one, everybody prepares as if that lightning bolt has their name on it. And so that's what I'm trying to be. I'm trying to be the thunderstorm coming to let you know that there is a perfect storm brewing right now. And if you haven't been paying attention, if you know, even you may be a Democrat and you don't like the Republicans, but they need to fix a lot of what's in that law, because we're losing a lot of good doctors. And, of course, we have good doctors still in the system, but, again, it's overburdened. You know, and a lot of people may not experience it just right yet because the employer mandate hasn't gone in yet. Once that goes in, you're going to see premiums start going up even more. Employers are going to start encouraging their employees to go on to those health care exchanges more. My premiums went up three times what they were, so I had to go on to my employer's insurance rather than stay on the other one, because I would have been paying like $900-something a month just for myself. And with my employer, I'm only paying a couple hundred dollars. So if my employer got rid of it, I'm stuck with the exchanges now, with Obamacare or the Affordable Health Care Act.
Wow. Now I have a question for you, Willie, because you're actually a healthcare columnist as well for the Hype magazine.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I was so blessed to do that, and I actually have been made an offer, and we're still talking about it, about, you know, how it's going to work out, but also for a magazine called Empower Magazine, and that resulted from my recent speech in Houston. You know, the guy that is the editor-in-chief, we talked at in depth, and they're actually hosting my book on their website right now, and I sent an article in, and they're evaluating it to have me come on board as a writer for their magazine as well. But, yeah, the Hype magazine, I love it. Jerry Dobie's the editor-in-chief. I've known him for over a decade, and we're very good friends, and he brought me on after I wrote a column for his magazine. I actually didn't write the column. I was a contributor to the column called Dark America, and it went into the print issue of the Hype magazine, and it was regarding organ donation.
Mm-hmm.
And so I talked about the dark side of organ donation. I don't want to discourage anybody from doing that if that's your choice, but, you know, it'll never be me or my family. So you can read that article, get a copy of the Hype magazine, or I can post a link on your page if you allow me to, so you can see what I was talking about. But, you know, if that's your choice as a family, you know, you can benefit a lot of people from organ donation, but there is that dark area of that industry, and there's a lot of evidence, anecdotal evidence, and some proof out there that there is a market for organs, you know, not necessarily taking your organs as a live person, but, you know, any part of you as a dead person. So, you know, and it's a stressful time that you're going through, and right at the time that they know that you're going to die, the harvester is already knowing about you, because we're required as healthcare providers to notify the agency, and so they start planning and to talk to your family. And see, to me, even though it can benefit people, I wouldn't want my family to go through that unless they felt like that way, we made that plan way, way in advance that, okay, I want you, my organs to benefit other people. I don't want nobody bothering my family if I didn't make that decision myself, because that, everybody goes through the grieving process. If you've taken Psychology 101, everybody knows that you go through, you know, all those different stages of grief, denial, anger, bargaining, and some people never make it through every stage. So you're approaching people when their family member is about to die or when they die about, hey, you know, you could benefit a lot of people, blah, 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 and they may still be in a denial stage that, hey, I don't believe this is happening, and you are trying to force them to proceed through those steps faster than they want to, or faster than they're even capable of, and they may feel guilt and do it out of a sense of guilt, you know, instead of doing it out of a sense of duty or anything like that. So I think people should make those decisions way before they ever get to any kind of critical stage, maybe as young adults or whatever, or start talking about it now. But the process is just kind of creepy to me, even as a healthcare professional. But I support it because that's a person's right to participate in it. And, of course, it's my mandate as a healthcare provider to follow the policies of my facility and notify the organ donation agency of the state when you meet certain criteria and close to death. And they're going to contact you, your family, you know.
Wow. Now, tell us a little bit about the comic book that you have in production called Diva Team.
Yeah, I haven't been trying to push it too much, but I'll do it as an exclusive to you guys since you've been doing your homework. My oldest daughter, you know, and I bless her wherever she is right now. She hadn't been doing right in her life, so we're, you know, praying for her and everything, but she's a phenomenal singer. You know, I can introduce you to her music. You can Google her name. It's out there. She's had music playing on some television shows and stuff, but I based, you know, let me just give you a little backstory. In 3 years this year, actually in two more days, I will have lost three fathers in 3 years, my biological father, my stepfather, and my father-in-law. So at the death of my father-in-law a couple of years ago, we were driving back home from Alabama, a 6.5-hour drive from there back to the Tampa area, and I was listening only to my daughter's catalog of music, which is over 150-some-odd songs. And I didn't have to listen to the same song twice. And I started coming up with this concept of she can sing in every genre, and she had music in every genre. So I came up with this concept of a superheroine who has multiple personality disorder. That's what the other name for dissociative identity is, multiple personality disorder. So I use that acronym DIVA to mean dissociative identity villain acquisition. This is a superheroine who has multiple personality, but she has all four of these superheroines inside of her. There's nothing like that out in the world right now. You know, you have a couple of African-American superheroines. You have Storm from the X-Men. They don't focus on her in the movie genre too much, but I have a movie script that we're shopping right now. And you had a Marvel character from Marvel Comics called Voodoo, who they decommissioned like a year or so ago, so she doesn't even have an active comic book out right now. So I think we kind of hit on something, but also we hit on something because what we do is we cross-promote we're going to be cross-promoting the comics with the music, because each character represents a different genre of music and has different sets of power that are reflective of the power within that genre. So the character named Bubbles, for instance, is more of a Disney-esque type character, and so she has powers that she can shoot lights out of her fingers and bubbles and different stuff. She can float on those bubbles to get to higher, you know, places and stuff like that. She has a character that's kind of like a hip-hop character. That character kind of reminds me of Wolverine from the X-Men, because she fights rather than kind of let you off the hook. She might break a bone or something. She uses martial arts. She also uses, you know, weapons like swords and that sort of thing. You'll learn a whole lot more about it as we move forward. I have an artist in South Africa who is penning the comic for me. It's already written. The pilot episode is written and registered with the Writers Guild. The movie script is written and registered with the Writers Guild. So we're just kind of slowly putting that project together. Every now and then I'll leak out, you know, the photo of the four characters. And, of course, there's music that's out online already, just so that there's a history that will follow the character as well. And then we're actively looking for artists to kind of fill the role that my daughter kind of left empty because, you know, of course, you know, until she gets her stuff together, we can't really, you know, move forward with her with it. So even though it's based on her, actually, you know, the genres, you know, there of course there are multiple artists out in the world who can, you know, sing in multiple genres. So we'll be actively looking once we start moving forward with the comic in more in depth. But my agency, I have an agent that is part of Notebook Entertainment, and they represent Kool and the Gang, Tito Jackson. They also represent me, thank the Lord. And they are going to be getting me into a bunch of the comic conventions. you know, around the world, you know, specifically in the United States at first. And we'll be promoting my book, but we'll also be trying to release the pilot comic for Diva Team at that time. So it's coming. You know, I have a couple of children's books that are out there as well. Well, actually, a short story and a children's book. And, man, what's happening with my children's book is phenomenal. God is kind of just working that out all, you know, it's amazing what's happening with that. It's called Akio's Adventure Series. And basically, I have a lady who is a family friend. I had never met her before until online, but she knows my mother, who's Dr. Versina Stewart, who's a principal of a school, a Christian school up in Gary, Indiana, where I'm from. And I did a presentation to the public library system. They picked up my book for all of the libraries in the city, and I did the presentation via Skype. And so she was so moved by that, and she saw my children's book, that she's helping to develop it for the Common Core standards for what the Common Core stand is, so it could be used in the public school system. And she's doing it as a trial run. So she just posted something on my page the other day where she did a presentation to the school board in Indianapolis, the Cultural Diversity Board. And I was just amazed. She just said kudos, and things are moving forward with that. But here's another unique first that I think I'm doing that no other author has ever done. I have taken it upon myself. I grew up in the Cosby Show era, and not only the Cosby Show era, but I watched Saturday morning cartoons with Bill Cosby and Fat Albert and the Cosby Kids. So with every Cosby episode, Bill Cosby always appeared, and he kind of taught you what you learned in the cartoon for that episode. I don't know if any of y'all are old enough or have seen that kind of stuff, but that's kind of what I grew up on. So what I've done with my Akio's Adventure Series is there is a QR code at the back of the book that you can scan, or you can click a link. And so only for people who got the book, or if the QR code ever leaks out or anything, people can access me popping up and kind of interacting with the kids or whoever's reading the book and kind of telling them about the lesson that they learned in the book, kind of like how Bill Cosby did. So it's an ode to Cosby, but doing what no other author is doing, which is interacting with the public to kind of educate you on the lesson, because we got to, again, like I said, we got to get back to family, try to get back to some values, you know, value-centered education, and I think this book series is going to do just that. And it's moved this teacher so much that she's redeveloping it as a lesson plan according to Common Core, and hopefully we can get it into first the school systems in Indianapolis, and then maybe across the state of Indiana, and then into other states. So we're going to slowly move forward, and if God is willing, you know, it'll be everywhere.
Wow.
Wow. You needed 2 hours. We gonna have to have you on again. Yeah, you gonna have we're gonna have to have you on again. Let them know.
Okay.
You know, you're gonna get busy, but you know, right once you gonna call for me to come back on again.
All right. Well, yeah. Tell everybody to Google my name, Willie L. Stewart. Type it that way, because there's a couple of other Willie Stewarts out there that are soccer players and stuff like that. But if you Google Willie L. Stewart, you'll find a lot of stuff about me: the music label, the publishing company, comic book, movie scripts, all kind of stuff. I've had my book cover on Billboard and Times Square, you know, different stuff, lots going on, and I'm here to stay. You know, we're doing a lot of great stuff. I want everybody to go to my website, tarnishednovel.com, TARNISHEDNOVEL.com. And you can access anything about me from there. You can access my Serial Killers blog. You can actually get my book from Amazon on there, and it'll lead you to any of my short stories. If you type my name in Google or any of the search engines, you'll find me, because I'm very well optimized.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, we so appreciate you coming out. You have educated us. You have taken us from across the water. We learned so much by you being on this show today. So we're going to make sure, as well as the show, you will be coming back. Because
I was listening to a bunch of your other shows the other day because I try to do my homework too, and I didn't know if I could live up to some of them because you guys have had some very interesting guests on, and you guys are great interviewers, and I am honored to be on your show, and I would love to come back.
Well, thank you so much. Leisha and I and our audience have learned so much, and Willie, you are definitely doing things outside the box. That's our key for you. Our key word for you is doing it outside the box.
All right.
Absolutely. And I see that you've executive produced some talk shows, so yeah, we're going to get some of them good jewels for you from next time you come. We're going to get some of these jewels you have.
Yeah, I have to send you some of the music, too. I have to send you some of the music.
Absolutely. And if you have any additional, like, commercials for your other books that you want to run when you guys get ready to do your shows and things like that, just let me know, and we will run them. Right here,
okay, well,
right,
I'm going to put a promo for Akio's Adventure right on the Blog Talk page so everybody can see that, because we're pushing that one pretty hard right now, you know, just
okay,
to kind of, because we wanted to get into the school system.
Okay.
Inbox it to me so that I can make sure that we're running it. Yep, inbox it to me so that I can add it to the different shows that we have. Boss Lady Publishing is going into the network phase, so we have like three or four different shows, and we want to make sure that we get those commercials out there because you're doing so much. And are you still doing your healthcare column?
Oh, yeah, definitely, with the Hype magazine. It's been a couple of months since I've actually posted on their blog. They've been full-court press with a lot of award shows and stuff. So, you know, they have a lot of other articles that take precedence at that time. So, you know, I kind of play my role there, you know, because it's an urban music magazine. They made a slot for me to come on there. So I don't push to kind of just kind of get my name out there. If you go to their website and look at the staff section, they list me there as a writer. And when the need comes up or something relevant in healthcare comes up, I send an article to the editor, and if he decides that it's okay for it to go on the blog, he'll put it on there. I haven't put an article in the print magazine yet other than my contribution to an article that he did called Dark America. But again, I serve a purpose to educate on that site when the need arises. But I'll probably take a more active role with Empower Magazine because they're going to be wanting me to write weekly with them. So, you know, I'll be probably posting weekly with them. You know, they're out of Houston. And, again, that's talking to another urban audience, but I encourage everybody to go to both of these websites because other magazines aren't willing to take the leap of faith to see that that their readership will respond to this. And readership is actually responding to it. So.
Wow. You know, between you and our previous guest, Jake, we have gotten some awesome information this evening on Leisha and I show on a Black Author. We are honoring Outside the Box tonight, Leisha.
Yes, we are.
Putting that in your inbox right now.
Okay, I'll make sure that I add it to our clip. Wow, our show is only an hour. We wish we could have you on for 2 hours. I'm going to make sure I get you scheduled for our Wednesday or Thursday night show so that you can wow the rest of the team. It's four authors, and then me and Tony. So we want to make sure that we get a good topic. We get you popping in the clubhouse, and you can go ahead on and educate. You should be
Yeah, and I'm going to entertain you, too, because I got some music that is going to blow you away. My daughter is a phenomenal talent. It's just a shame that, you know, maybe at some point she'll grow and get beyond this stage that she's at. But, you know, until then, there's some phenomenal music that I'm kind of sitting on. And, you know, I'd be more than willing to, you know, let you guys showcase it there and let your audience enjoy it.
Well,
absolutely.
That.
Absolutely. whatever you have, just make sure you put it in my inbox, and I'll make sure that I put it in rotation. We appreciate you coming on right now and sharing all of your knowledge, sharing your work with us. Me and Tony appreciate it. We've enjoyed ourselves. We've learned. We've been educated to the max today just on healthcare alone, travel.
Well, I hope I didn't scare anybody with the conspiracy stuff. I just want people to think, you know, think.
Absolutely. But this is the
fight. Go ahead, T. No, I was going to say, you know, you're right. We've been educated on healthcare, and we've gotten some great tips and information on travel between our two guests. So we stepped outside the box tonight, Leisha.
Yes, ma'am. This is the Friday night edition of I'm the Author of Writing Royalty Radio with the fabulous Tony and I, Miss Leisha. We will see you next Friday for I'm the Author. Don't touch that dial. Make sure that you call in for the Pussy Chat series, which is our next show on Writing Royalty Radio that has the Vixen and the Mistress of the Clubhouse. They are in there talking about these positions. You're going to contact 347-826-7011. That show is from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thank you for calling into Writing Royalty. Thank you for streaming in. We appreciate all of your support for all of our listeners that support us and hold us down on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, thank you for having me again.
Not a problem. And make sure you shout out where everybody can find you before you leave out the clubhouse.
You can find me at willielstewart.com, willielstewart.com, or tarnishednovel.com, tarnishednovel.com.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for calling in. We thank you for sharing your work with us, and we will have you in the clubhouse again. Thank you for everybody that streamed in and listened in. We're going to actually run Tarnished right now on our way out the clubhouse. Have a wonderful evening, everybody.
Okay, good night. Thank you again for joining us.
Yeah. Too much for you. Tarnished. You know.
Tarnished.
It's just not safe in the hospital anymore. Yeah, let's go, yo. Once you open this book, you're gonna be scared. You're gonna be hooked. Serial killer, healthcare villain, overdose you on drugs, he's more than willing. You better hide from Dale or Ren. You better hope you don't run into him. Might get a special injection, and then you're never waking up again. With his mom, Isabel, tag team killers, page after page, his books a thriller. So chillin', body's on ice, and Dale got a girl, his mom's on light. Now she's jealous. Gonna do, slip some poison in her snoop. It's two killers, it's too much, it's all tarnished, death and love.
You're in the ICU and you think you're getting help, but when you open your eyes you see Dell and Isabel. It's all tarnished.
You better watch out.
Tarnished.
Gonna get you no tap. Reading this book too brilliant. Who's gonna win? The pace is for them. And what about all the evidence? Can't escape this, not even you. Exposed to health, get from the womb to the tomb. Oh no, Isabel getting mad again. Dale took a day off with the girlfriend. So what's she gonna do? Maybe take the stress out of you.
Oh, you're in there.